Hour number two on this Monday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heat, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. TD out in Atlanta, getting ready for joint practices this week. Preseason game number two for the Titans against the Falcons on Friday night. TD, talked about Cam Ward a lot in the first hour, but the big picture news that was probably the most important from Saturday is Tajay Spears, a high ankle sprain. You break that news on Saturday night. Probably going to miss the rest of the preseason at the very least. I would guess probably at least one regular season game too. What does this mean for the Titans running back room that I think a lot of people expected maybe a more even split between Pollard and Spears heading into the year? And now without Tajay with the team practicing for the next 3-4 weeks, most likely going to be a lot of Tony Pollard moving forward, it seems.
Yeah, it looks like there is going to be a lot of Tony Pollard, and that's the way it ended up being last year, right? 260 carries. It's not just everybody outside of the building that expected it to be balanced. Brian Callahan, the guy who calls the plays himself, wanted it to be more balanced because he wanted to keep both guys healthy. We know what happened with Pollard, you know, down the stretch, you know, with the foot injury and not being able to practice and having to come out. And like the one game was the Patriots game. He toughed it out so much that Callahan was almost in tears talking about, you know, how much he appreciated his guy putting it on the line. So that lets you know what they're looking to do in a normal situation with Spears being a guy that's available to them. And you look at Spears in camp, he was playing at another gear from the other people on the field. And he was always like getting to that hole, slow to the hole, but exploding through it and then exploding away from the defense. You know what I mean? You see him running the ball all the way to the end zone on almost every carry. The one time he didn't, Jahad Ward punched it out. Shout out to Jahad Ward too for the hustle he has, right? Running with the running backs when they run to the end zone in practice. But I mean, now you look at it and it's like, okay, can Jordan Mims step up and take advantage of this opportunity? Can Khalil Mullins continue to step up? Will Julius Chestnut, a guy who when he first got here, I'm calling him Natron Means, you know what I mean? A big guy with sweet feet, you know, but he's actually lost some weight, but still managed to be able to play behind his pads almost just as much. So I know that power side of things is what that Titans group is looking for. But if you don't have that change of pace, that guy that you could do a lot of things with catching the ball out of the backfield, heck, that 13-yard catch and run that he had, that's where he got injured, right? Tajay Spears, that is. So you want to try to be able to curb that. And I don't know how things are going to go as far as like when he's going to be available to them. But if you look at it, they may have to go out and get somebody, not because the guys behind him aren't good enough, but because you need that guy who could still help in the pass catching side of things. And I don't know for sure that, you know, these guys that they have can. You look at someone like Chase Edmonds, one of the Titans fans on Twitter, J5, I think, or J2 times, something like that. I have to double check his handle. But he brought up Zach Moss, and that's a really good correlation right there because obviously he worked with Callahan in the past, you know.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably find out how serious this injury is based on if the Titans do make a move. Because you're right, this is I like Khalil Mullins, I like Julius Chestnut, I like Jordan Mims, but they can't be your third down back. And like Pollard has the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, but he's not quite as shifty and explosive as Tajay Spears is. I'm looking at this list of guys still out there. You mentioned Zach Moss. I think, obviously, that's the one that makes the most sense. I mean, coming from the Bengals, only 27 years old, probably wouldn't cost a ton to go get. Other guys who are out there, Gus Edwards, Jeff Wilson. You mentioned Chase Edmonds. But there's really not a whole lot out there. You could bring back an old friend, Deontay Foreman, who's still out there on the market. But I think you will find out pretty quickly how serious this is and how long Tajay Spears is going to miss based on whether the Titans go out and sign a veteran.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, man, I say this, like, selfishly, Jamal Williams would be pretty fun. to have here just because of just how off the wall he is. Crazy thing, man. He's been in the league 8 years. You know how we do the draft series talking with TD?
Yep.
Yeah. Had him on, man.
Wow.
So yeah, we got some time in. But no, you're right though. Whatever they do, that's gonna tell us what the severity is with Tajay Spears. And you just hate to see it, man, because this is a kid that I don't know what it was he went through, but just in talking to him one on one, like you could feel like this dude went through something last year, right? And so, he talked about being able to express forgiveness. Now, I don't know what he had to forgive, who he had to forgive, or whatever, but like you hate to see somebody come out on top of all of that and then get kind of pushed back with the injury. So obviously we're concerned about him. From the football side of things, you'd never want to see somebody get hurt and not be on the field, but also from a mental, like I wonder how he's going to be not being able to, let out that frustration or be in that field. 'Cause remember, Jake, a lot of these guys, like their peace, their happy zone is being on the field. So you
Yep.
take that away and that could be a detriment to their mental health also.
Yeah, it's tough for Tajay Spears, a guy who pretty much since he's been drafted, Titans fans have been excited about coming into every season. It's like this could be a guy who is a playmaker, and the Titans have been looking for playmakers on the offensive side of the ball for a while now. Tajay, I hope he comes back. It was tough to watch the 2 touches that he got back to back. One, he runs into Chim Dike and goes down for a loss. And then you're right, he makes a nice move on that little screen pass and turned it upfield and just got rolled up on. You knew it wasn't the ACL because he doesn't have one of those. Good to know that it wasn't the most serious it could be because, anytime you see a cart come out for a guy, your mind kind of goes to, okay, that might be the last time we see him this season. High ankle sprain is not good, and obviously it could take a while for him to come back, but the good news is Tajay Spears will be back, hopefully sooner rather than later this season.
And I mean, look, there's no sign of how severe it is. But this is the thing that you hate, Jake, the high ankle sprain. Fortunately, I've never had to experience that, but people I know that have experienced it, you're never really good.
Right.
Like, I'm not gonna say never, but you're not really good for the whole year with that. And it could always be some type of little, like, turn your ankle type of thing or get rolled on type of thing to put you right back, if not worse, than where you already where you were when you injured it, so you hate to see it.
Yeah, we've seen these high ankle sprains. Like there are some, and I don't want to use Patrick Mahomes as the example, but he had that high ankle sprain in the playoffs a couple years ago and played on it. A little bit different quarterback versus running back, obviously. But then there are some that obviously like, a bad high ankle sprain, he could be out for a month and a half, 2 months. We don't really know. It's all just going to depend on the severity and how fast he can rehab it and get back. Adam in Portland on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says pretty sure Jamal Williams, sorry, is the Pokemon guy, right? Yes, he is.
Yes. He is a trip, man. He is a trip.
I mean him and Jahmyr Gibbs, or no, was it him and David Montgomery a couple years ago with the Lions? Like that was.
He had all the touchdowns, man. Like and now David Montgomery's a beneficiary. They get down inside that low red zone, and he's getting the ball instead of Gibbs.
Yeah. And Williams recently spending time with the Saints didn't quite recapture that magic that he had in Detroit, but maybe a guy, it's a veteran and he knows how to make plays out of the backfield. Maybe that ends up being a guy the Titans go out and get. I think I'd prefer a Zach Moss, but
Oh yeah, no doubt. Zach Moss would be the best option. I just was talking from a selfish
Right.
standpoint of having a little something extra to write about.
1325 on our text line says he needs a tightrope surgery. I haven't seen that reported anywhere, but that would be the same surgery that that Ryan Tannehill had back in 2022. Right, yeah, because he was trying to get back if the Titans did make the playoffs when they lost the 7 straight games. They were trying to see if he could get back, and obviously the Titans didn't make the playoffs, so it didn't end up mattering.
That was, I remember Malik Willis, the Chiefs game, man.
Right.
They should have beaten the Chiefs. Chris Conley, You know, he tried to catch the ball with his wrist and he dropped a critical play. But as far as the type of surgery on Tajay Spears, that's just kind of hypothesizing. There's nothing to that at the moment. It's very, very early. That's something usually they will do after they wait and give it time to kind of flare down, like, cool off, so to speak. You know what I mean? Because we have that strain that ligament is put under a lot, and you got to give it time to cool down, and that swelling and all of that, man. Like, your ankle turns like the color of Pepsi, you know what I mean? Because of the bruising and the stress on it.
So there's nothing to that right now. I think usually the tightrope surgery is kind of like a last resort kind of thing, right? Like
Exactly, exactly. It's way early
if you
to jump
really
that
need to get
quick.
him back, or if just rest and recovery isn't working, then maybe that becomes the case. But we'll see with Tajay Spears. Obviously not the worst case scenario after he was carted off on Saturday, a high ankle sprain. Hopefully he will be back sooner rather than later. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you on this Monday, continuing to react to the Titans' loss in Tampa in preseason game number one on Saturday. This is Next Man Up here on 1025 The Game. Next Man Up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt with you on this Monday. Let's give something away here. Nashville Dance Fest is taking over 90,000 square feet behind the legendary Nashville Palace for the ultimate country dance and music experience. Over 70 dance workshops, live concerts every night, four massive outdoor dance floors, partner and line dance competitions, food trucks, vendors, silent disco, and more. Be caller number three right now, and you can win a pair of tickets to the Nashville Dance Fest at the legendary Nashville Palace, September 5th through the 7th. That's caller number three at 615-737-1025. TD, continuing our conversation around Tajay Spears. Spears going down with a high ankle sprain. If the Titans weren't to add behind Tony Pollard, if they feel like, hey, Tajay Spears can be back maybe by week two, week three, somewhere in there, do you think they have enough with Kalel Mullings, Julius Chestnut, and some of the other options there to at least piece something together until Tajay Spears is healthy enough to return?
No, and you talked about it a bit. The third down aspect, you need that back that you could get the ball to out of the backfield. And I'm not saying that they're doing this, so I'm not sharing trade secrets. But you also, if you have Tony Pollard there, and let's say you want to go, 22 personnel, two tight ends and two backs, or if you want to go, with two backs and two receivers, like you want, 22 personnel. If you want to do that, right, you need to be able to have a guy that could attack in the passing game, in addition to Pollard, right? So that's where a guy like Spears really helps out, because when you have those two backs in there, then they match it. And I personally think Spears against a linebacker is an advantage. Do I think that Julius Chestnut against a linebacker is?
Yeah.
I think it depends on the backer, right? But I think universally it's an advantage with Spears. So you need to have that matchup, that mismatch, because we know this game, that's what it's about, and Spears is not, he's a little more than a pawn on the chessboard, right? He's kind of like that bishop, or like, one of the upper pieces, so to speak.
Yeah, and we've seen it before with the Titans too, that you can bring in a running back off the street and have success. Like Deontay Foreman, who we just mentioned, who is out there on the market, he came in that 2021 season, and honestly, there was, like, obviously you're not getting Derrick Henry level production, but you were able to make it work. Dontrell Hilliard would be a great example. Another Tulane guy, of a guy they brought in. He ended up being a great third down back for them. So I think it makes sense. If Tajay Spears is going to miss more than maybe just one game, if you're not sure he's going to be back for that game against the Rams in week two, maybe it does make sense to bring in a Zach Moss, or, I'm looking at some of these other names out there. It really isn't a long list of veteran
Slim
guys
pickings,
on the market.
Slim pickings.
But you could bring in a guy who can at least help you out in that 1 to 2 weeks, and then hopefully when Tajay Spears comes back, he can jump right back in. But as you said, you know, these high ankle sprains, it depends on the severity, but sometimes you're just not the same person until you get to the offseason, can fully get it to recover.
Yeah, and, you know, Tajay Spears is a guy that works off of a lot of cutting and, you know, twitchy type of thing. So hopefully for his sake, he'll be able to get that back. But one thing you also got to remember, and anytime you talk to Chad Brink or Mike Borgonzi, you know, about the whole the roster construction part of it, they're quick to bring up, hey, we're first in the waiver wire. You know what I mean? So if a guy comes out and is available, you know, they have first choice of them. So that's something else to look at. And we know rosters are consistently being churned. And if it doesn't happen up until the point where a roster cut down day is, it could happen afterward. And that's why if I'm somebody like back end of the roster type of guy, I'm still sweating the first couple of days after those quote unquote final cuts, because you look, you might end up getting cut because a position of weakness became available and they grab a player. Look at Daryl Baker Jr. last year, who, you know, ran Carthon and the crew, they snapped him up. And we're talking about him as a starter opposite Jarvis Brownlee Jr., the fifth round pick who ran Carthon selected that as starting there.
Yeah. And maybe this becomes a situation where maybe Tajay Spears has to start the season on the PUP list and miss those first four games. But you're right. That is a very important factor in all of this, is the Titans do have the number one waiver priority. So maybe that becomes the top priority for them, is to look for, all right, who is the best running back who's getting let go by these teams out there? And the Titans can just go out there. If they make him the number one claim, boom, you've got yourself a guy who can be your third down back. It's just a matter of what actually gets out there. You don't know that until these teams cut down to 53.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just that's why I like the phrase roster churning, because that's literally what it is. You're churning and churning and churning, trying to find that gym or that front office, transaction the front office is that could help them out.
Right. Yeah. We've seen it already in training camp on the 90-man roster. Like former Tennessee Volunteer Ramel Keaton came in for like 3 days and then they turned him out of there. So you never know. You've still got roster cut down day is 3 weeks away, right around there. So
yeah,
they've got 3 weeks and you get to evaluate the players that you currently have on your roster. And it's always an evaluation in the preseason of watching these other games. I'm sure that Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker are, especially during these joint practices, like, let's look at the, who do the Falcons have at running back? Maybe there's somebody who they see this week during these joint practices, and maybe that ends up being the guy that they use. I mean, I'm looking at this really not knowing. Their running backs, obviously Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier, there's not a whole lot else out there besides that.
Yeah.
But just as an example, like, you get to spend these weeks with Tampa and Atlanta. It's all part of the scouting process of trying to find these guys who maybe become available at the end of the training camp and the preseason that you can bring in, and they can be a factor for your team.
Yeah, I mean, you never know who you could find. I mean, to your point, the joint practices, that's not just for inter-team, like team versus team competition. That's scouting too. Like, you get to look at some guys that may end up coming available. And who knows? Like, what if it's a guy that's just killing, right? And he becomes available. You're like, oh, well, I remember he was eating my guys a lot. Let me bring him on over here. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like, was it David Martin Robinson who had such a great joint practice against the Seahawks last week? It's like you can't cut that guy because Seattle's probably going to be all over him. So
they were waiting. And that's why they kept four tight ends, if you remember. Because
right.
All four of the guys shine, you know what I mean? Well, Chig, you know, was going to make the roster. Wiley had a good camp, you know what I mean? And obviously, you know, DMR, and then you look at Odukoya, you know, they were impressed. They were waiting. Trust me, I know for a fact. The Seahawks were waiting to find out if a guy was going to become available.
Yeah, running back, now a question mark for the Titans. Felt like it was a strength before Tajay Spears goes down with the high ankle sprain. Obviously, this all becomes a moot point if Tajay Spears only is going to miss a couple of weeks and he'll be ready for the regular season, but we don't know that yet. Titans may have to make some changes in that room leading up to the regular season. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Another position group that maybe there could be some changes coming to, the quarterback room. Cam Ward went 5 of 8, 67 yards, and led a touchdown drive in his two drives under center on Saturday night. The Titans did not score the rest of the game through three interceptions between Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle. We will talk about the backup quarterback position coming up next and whether the Titans maybe need to churn some guys in and out of there as well. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt, next man up. You're on 102.5 The Game.
How much does a day like today make you reevaluate the plan behind the camp with Brandon and Tim?
I think anytime that you get the chance to see guys playing a game, you look at it, you see what was good, what was bad. I think Brandon had some good plays. I think there was a, you know, a play or two that the interception was unfortunate. I mean, it's a tip ball and a guy makes a one-handed catch. That's unfortunate. I hate to see it. But yeah, I mean, you know, we think we got to play better for sure at that spot. I think over the totality of those reps at the end of the second half of the game when Cam came out, just keep looking at it, keep trying to get better.
That was Brian Callahan post-game on Saturday talking about the backup quarterbacks for the Titans. Cam Ward left the game with 7 points on the board, and no more points were scored the rest of the day. Brandon Allen, Tim Boyle out there threw a combined 3 interceptions. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newton, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Before we do get into the backup quarterbacks, we were just talking about free agent running backs. Jamal Williams is being worked out by the Dolphins today. So possible that maybe he is off the board on what was already a thin list of free agent running backs if the Titans did want to add somebody in the absence of Tajay Spears. But TD, thoughts on the backup quarterbacks on Saturday night? It was kind of a weird game because, you know, by the time Ward was out, he only had 2 series, but by the time Cam Ward came out of the game, it was already mid-second quarter. Brandon Allen, I thought, was fine. Like Brian Callahan said, the interception was kind of just a weird play. But Tim Boyle, a .6 passer rating is tough to get. 4 of 13, 2 interceptions. He was not good. Obviously, it's your third-string quarterback. You really hope that there's never a situation where he has to be on the field in a meaningful game. Overall, it wasn't great from the Titans' backups on Saturday.
No, it wasn't even good, to be honest with you. And entering that game, because I remember talking to Corey Curtis for the Titans pregame show, and you know, I said, hey, look, man, like, the guys have had solid camps, but I don't know that I would be happy and satisfied with where I was backup quarterback-wise if these were my guys. And that's been the case since this was the decision. It was just always like, really? Even with Will Levis on the roster, really? Brandon Allen? Tim Boyle? Like, those are the guys, the veterans you brought in? It just never really made sense. Honestly, Tyler Huntley was available. I would have jumped on that because I think you're getting a guy.
Pro Bowl.
yeah, by default, right? He was the seventh. It's like getting a seventh place ribbon, you know what I mean, on field day, you know what I mean? But, I think when you look, like, that's probably a guy I would feel much better with. Neither of those guys played well. And, I mean, there was one play, and I said it to Matt Landers after in the locker room after the game. Like, it was an incompletion, and that dude was just – he was standing there. He could have done jumping jacks by himself, and nobody would have even been able to come over to get him in time to catch the football. So, obviously, right, sitting all the way up top and looking down, you're getting the best view of the field, so it's going to be different. So, I can only be but so critical, but that's something that your quarterback has to see. You have to take advantage of those situations.
Yeah, it was – like, Brandon Allen, watching the game, it was – fine. Like, there were some plays where he actually, like, he hit Gunnar Helm on an out route and he got 16. Like, there were some plays that one drive, he got them all the way down. And I know Brian Callahan kind of explained that 4th and 2, and that, you know, the communication, the helmet was off, and that he didn't call a play that he liked because they were a little bit frazzled. But as a quarterback on 4th down, you got to give somebody a chance, right? You can't just throw it out the back of the end zone.
Yeah, you got to give them a chance to make a play. And throwing it away on fourth down is like, that's just like, that's the dumbest thing you could do. You
Right.
know what I mean? So you do want to always like give your guy a chance to make a play. And I know you don't want it intercepted, but if it does get intercepted, obviously don't put it totally in harm's way. But again, like give your guy a chance to make a play on the ball.
Yeah, I mean Bryce Oliver, he was double covered. He wasn't open, but if you throw that 5 feet lower than he did, at the very least, Bryce Oliver can go up and try and make a play on it because in that situation, an incomplete pass is basically an interception at that point. I do have to give Tim Boyle credit because I was looking around X over the weekend after he had such a bad game, and I saw his college stats. And it just blows my mind that this guy ever got an opportunity to play NFL football. I really don't understand. So here are his stats at Connecticut. 59 completions on 133 attempts his freshman year, 44% completion percentage. 52% his sophomore year, 51% his junior year. So he never finished a season with more than 52% completion percentage. In 2013, he threw no touchdowns and eight interceptions and took 18 sacks. Maybe I'm reading this wrong and maybe I'm missing something, but the fact that Tim Boyle has been in the NFL for like 5 years is actually really impressive.
It's impressive, but you also look at guys like, here you go, you're a VTech guy. Remember Gerard Evans?
Yeah.
How is he not in the league,
That,
right? And
see, Gerard
you
Evans,
know?
that is a perfect example because Gerard Evans in the 2016 season for Virginia Tech was great. I mean, he was the best quarterback the Hokies have had since Logan Thomas.
Yeah,
And
broke his records for total yards.
right. And I think everybody in Blacksburg was shocked that he didn't come back because he went undrafted and never really got a chance. But yeah, I look at Tim Boyle. This is his seventh NFL season, and I'm looking at his college stats, and I mean, this guy, what did an NFL team see to put him on their team the first time? I just don't understand it. Like
Can't
it says
call that one.
he came out of Eastern Kentucky, but I'm not seeing any stats at Eastern Kentucky. Maybe that's just something I'm missing, but it looks like he played 3 seasons at Connecticut, threw one touchdown and like 12 picks. Oh, so for some reason, the website I was on didn't have his statistics from Eastern Kentucky. They're still not great. 61% completion percentage, 11 touchdowns, 13 picks, 2,100 yards as a senior at Eastern Kentucky. So that at least makes it a little bit better, but still not great stuff. I got to give credit to him because the fact that he's made a 7-year NFL career it's impressive.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Titans honestly would be better off bringing someone else in who, I don't know, like maybe somebody younger that you feel like can grow? Or is this a situation, TD, where they just like having Tim Boyle in that room and you hope he never actually has to hit the field?
No doubt. Hey, Jake, I'm gonna mess with your mind a little bit though. You ready to be mind blown?
I'm ready.
He and Tim Boyle and Will Levis went to the same high school.
Really?
Yeah. Xavier in Connecticut, man.
Oh,
But
yep.
I think, the one thing I will say though for Boyle is at least just I got to watch, getting to watch him practice. You're like, okay, that was, yeah, I mean, 6'4", he got the size, nice size body, arm is pretty good. I could see wanting to, kick the tires on him, right? To see how he looks. But then it's like, you get him in the game and just something just doesn't seem to click. At least that's what we saw recently, on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it just the interceptions, especially the pick six. I mean, he's looking for Mason Kinsey there. It looked like maybe they just weren't on the same page. Like Kinsey breaks the route inside, and it looked like Boyle was throwing a stop route, but it basically hit the defensive back right between the numbers, and he was able to run in for six. Like, I understand maybe if it is just a, hey, this guy, he knows the offense really well. He's a good locker room guy. He can help Cam Ward understand some of the stuff that he's seeing in the meeting room. but we never expect him to actually hit the field. But it is moderately concerning that the Titans are one Cam Ward injury away from having Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle as the only two quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah, and look, man, either way, if someone other than Cameron Ward has to get under center, you're canceling Christmas regardless, you know what I mean? But it would kind of be a bittersweet thing because I would imagine where the Titans are backup-wise, their record wouldn't be good. So now maybe you could go up and you could grab one of these impact receivers or pass rushers. But, I mean, you don't even want to play in that world, right? You want to have your guy Cameron Ward always available for you. He's the one that you want when it's time to go, 800 feet to the – away from Nissan Stadium to the new Nissan Stadium in February 27, you want to make sure that that guy is under center and good to go.
Yeah, and not to make the easy Bengals comparison that we always make, because again, Callahan coming from the Bengals, but Joe Burrow tore his ACL his rookie year. It ended up allowing them to be in a position to take Ja'Marr Chase the next year. Obviously, like you said, you don't even want to play in that world because you'd like Cam Ward to play all 17 games and get through his rookie year healthy. But, like, I think that's kind of where the Titans are at with this quarterback situation is, like, if Ward goes down, we'll pick in the top five and, you know, go get – is it T.J. War? No. The Clemson pass rusher who's up there, T.J. Parker, something like that. So, like, go get some guy who can – immediately make a difference at the top of the draft. But I'm kind of with you that I think the Titans, if Ward goes down, you're just flushing this season and moving on.
Yep, that's it, man. You're flushing the season. But, you know, then the question presents itself, okay, can Brian Callahan afford to have a season flux, right?
Right.
It becomes, will Amy Adams Strong be mad and make a move out of emotion? Will Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi be able to say, hey, look, for this young quarterback, you need stability, right? So there's a lot of things factoring in, but like the old saying goes, you want to make things better, just win.
Yeah, and you wonder if it was up to Brian Callahan, you wonder if maybe he would bring in a more veteran backup quarterback. And we can talk about that coming up next. And, you know, maybe Callahan wants to have that safety net so the season doesn't go completely down the drain if Ward gets hurt. But I think Borgonzi and Brinker have different ideas. Chip from Mount Juliet on our text line says Boyle's claim to fame was Rodgers liked him and a good locker room guy. So maybe that's how Tim Boyle stuck around so long, is that he got on air.
In Pittsburgh.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I did see a texter and I can't find it now. There it is. Cody from Jolton. As the backup quarterback situation, if he becomes available, the guy that played for Pittsburgh after Rudolph would be looking for him as a backup in Tennessee. I thought he was mentioning Mason Rudolph as an option if he comes available. Who was?
Oh, he's talking about Pickett?
Skylar Thompson. That's who he was talking about.
Skylar Thompson. Okay.
Skylar Thompson had a pretty good game on Friday or Saturday for the Steelers. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts on the Titans' backup quarterback situation, it was not good on Saturday night. Tim Boyle with a 0.6 passer rating. Let Tim Boyle. He had maybe one of the worst quarterback games we've seen in a long time. But we'll see. I'm sure that he'll get some reps on Friday night against Atlanta, and maybe he can bounce back and show that he deserves to be QB3. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt with you. We'll wrap up hour number two after this. Maybe throw out some names if the Titans did make an addition to the quarterback room. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Wrapping up the second hour of the show on this Monday, Titans falling in Tampa over the weekend 29-7 in preseason game number one. Cam Ward, solid first outing, 5 of 8, 67 yards, and led a touchdown drive to wrap up his evening. The backup quarterbacks, not so good. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt with you. We're on the backup quarterbacks because we mentioned if Cam Ward goes down, I think the idea is that you're just trying to get the highest possible draft pick. But if the Titans did want to go out and add some veteran leadership to this room, a guy who has a little more playing experience, the name that everyone brings up, TD, is Carson Wentz. And I don't think you could add Carson Wentz to this room as is, because Carson Wentz isn't signing up to be QB3. And I don't know if you're going to make Brandon Allen your QB3 right off the bat. But if an injury were to occur, and again, we don't want to live in that world, but just if it were to happen, maybe Carson Wentz is the first call if you want to bring in somebody who can at least make you try and be competitive in some of these games this season.
Well, I think if Carson Wentz is the guy and he comes in, Alec Iemanner's value will increase immensely, because we know Carson Wentz, you know, he might as well play for the Clippers, the old Clippers team. Remember Lob City?
Lob City.
You know what I mean? Because that's what he likes to do. Look at, remember with the Colts when he was throwing it up there and they were just like, all right, man, we're going to pray and we get a pass interference call. And it happened a lot. So, I mean, that is an option. I know the thing, I'm just, Carson Wentz as a backup would kind of trouble me, because he's a guy that he tries too hard, you know, and it's weird, because you say, well, what the hell do you mean he tries too hard? Like, aren't you supposed to try hard? Yeah, you are, but you also have to understand when the journey's over and understand to live to see another down, you know, and these are some of the things that Wentz really, truly struggled with. And I'm talking about as early as his rookie year, especially, but then also, you know, the championship year. And it's something that he struggled with, and not having that same ability post knee, it's kind of like it's a detriment, because now it's like the payoff for the risk is not as great. And I mean, Jake, I'm not sure if you remember the Commanders game in 2016, where it's like, you know, they all collapsed on him and he was basically down. You would have thought so. And next thing you know, he pops out the pile, yep. You know, a group of like three, and he runs for like 14 yards and gets the first down, and the Lincoln Financial Field is going crazy. You don't get that too much anymore.
There's a lot of Will Levis in Carson Wentz. Like, it's not just the looks are kind of the same, but like the way they play is kind of similar too, of just like that. You got to know when the journey is over, like you said.
You have to. And I mean, look, like, you know, that's one of the things that you like about, like, okay, Cameron Ward, right? When he talked about the comeback against, Virginia Tech. And then also the one against Cal, one of the things he said, you know, he wasn't trying to get the whole lead back with each throw, right? You know, with one throw, it was collectively, okay, we're just going to, let's get this drive taken care of, score on this drive, that the defense stop him, turn around and score on it. You know what I mean? It was compartmentalized.
Yeah, and I remember we were doing Jake and TD on Fridays back then. That was a Thursday night game when Tech played Miami. And I came in and I was like, hey, I didn't know a whole lot about Cam Ward, but I came out of that game impressed because, I mean, the little flip to the tight end that ended up setting up their go-ahead touchdown, it was kind of the perfect example of that was when he could play hero ball and he knew he could do it, but didn't do too much with it. So, I agree with you. I think you need more of that, and like Brandon Allen is going to be your safe backup quarterback. You don't really have to worry about it. 0599 on our text line says, why is no one talking about C.J. Beathard as a possible quarterback for the Titans? Local boy in Nashville, better than any of the free agents available and better than the two guys we have on the active roster. I wouldn't hate C.J.
Brandon
Beathard.
Allen, it's the same thing.
Right.
Though, man.
It's,
yeah.
It's different flavors.
I think in this case – and who was it? I have so many football conversations, Jake. I can't always remember who brought it up. But somebody made a good point. They said, hey, what about trading for Kenny Pickett? And I said, well, that makes some sense.
Yeah.
Or you may not even have to trade. I mean, they got, you know, a whole nation of quarterbacks over there in Cleveland. One of them is probably going to shake free. I mean, would you – want to grab one of those guys, you know, whether it's it'll probably be Pickett, frankly, but
right,
you're
not going to cut one of the guys you just spent a draft pick on.
Yeah. So I mean, there are some options there that they could take a look at.
Speaking of waiver wire, 9777, Jameis Winston waiver wire. If he gets cut, I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, it's not happening. I've cried about that. I've been crying about that thing since the combine. And it's just it's not going down, man.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect it. I know I saw Robbie Stanley tweet about this weekend of like, look at what they took from us with Jameis Winston in his number 19 jersey for media day. Would love Jameis Winston for just the content, but I can understand why that wouldn't happen.
Well, what'd he say? What'd he say? Your faith in Jesus is going to determine whether I hit this crossbar.
Lord, deliver me from pick sixes. One of the greatest quotes of all time. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey is on the line wanting to chime in. Trey, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Trey, what up, man? Bad days, baby.
No bad days. Hey, okay, so I watched my first game, preseason game for the Titans. I didn't watch any last year, a couple years. My evaluation of Cam, he needs some work. He needs a lot of work. Huh?
No, I agree with you. I said,
Yeah. He needs a lot of work. His balls come out like ducks. And we need somebody to come in, veteran guy to come in, to help this team out and try to, you know, get Cam. You know, they need somebody behind Cam that's going to help Cam develop. And I don't think we have that right now, but Cam need a lot of work, y'all. And TD, from your evaluation, with actual evaluation, what did you see and what did you like? And y'all have a good day and good job. Thank you.
Thanks, Trey.
I love it. Yeah, Trey's on point. There is some work that needs to be done. And I like how he talks about a veteran guy coming in and helping out. And obviously, the veteran guy that you bring in, you don't want him on the field, but you want him to be able to, hey, this is what I saw in that situation. And, you know, in the past, when they did this, I did that, right? And a good example of that is even at another position where J.C. Latham and Kevin Zeitler, they had a conversation. Latham has said this on Buck Rising's show, and he had talked about how Zeitler walked him through, okay, the next time this happens, I need you to tell me this. There was a certain way Jeffrey Simmons was aligned, and the way he shot, like Latham had to pass him off, and Zeitler wasn't—he didn't know—and Simmons was able to get in the backfield, whatever. You know what I mean? And just the same, you want to be able to have a veteran that could bounce things off of, and that's why Alex Smith was so good for Colin Kaepernick early in his career, because you know, even though his job had gotten taken, he was still a good soldier. And he made sure that he shared the right nuggets for him, right? And I think, you know, that's why I asked Cameron Ward how that process is when he comes off of the field. Obviously, it was only two series, but how was that process? You know, how did guys interact? And I think that's an important part of his development as well. So that's something. But when you talk about his performance, I mean, we kind of touched on it. You know, there were a few opportunities that he had. And look, nobody's perfect, right? His name is Cameron, not Jesus. So we're not going to expect perfection. But I think when you look at that third down, he did have an opportunity. Even Ridley was coming open on the shallow one. And then you had Jefferson a little bit deeper. And those are his trademark types of throws. He loves to throw, you know, to those areas where those guys were coming open when he's rolling to his right. So you have that. Obviously, the throw that was almost picked off, we touched on that, right? That's something where, okay, did it sail over the tight end or was he looking for Aya Manor? Whatever, his footwork wasn't right. And as Dan Orlovsky did a really good breakdown, I saw that and I posted it. He did a good breakdown of this play among a few others. And it's like, okay, you know, you want to step to your target, not to the sideline. And that's kind of what he did. And he couldn't get as much on the throw and it should have been picked off. But I think otherwise, you talk about the operation, rebounding off of the first and 20, that was critical. You look at, you know, being patient in the pocket and allowing that route to develop eventually for his first completion, you know, which was to Ridley on the 27-yarder. Those are all good things. And even checking the play at the line of scrimmage, those are all good things.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good to take from it, but obviously there were the two plays that you would have liked him to execute better. And mm-hmm. the near pick is the one everyone looks at. I thought the third and five, not only did he miss the wide open, the open receiver that could have gotten the first down, he also didn't get the throwaway out of bounds. But again, it's his first time playing in an NFL environment, and the issues come if these continue. Like, if he keeps doing the same things over and over, that's when it becomes an issue long term. Let's see what he does in these joint practices tomorrow and Wednesday, and then on Friday in preseason game number two. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, you can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 1 hour to go on this Monday. Let's talk some defense when we come back. And also, an interesting text that we got a couple of minutes ago that I want to get to. We'll do that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newton, next man up, 102.5 The Game.